Good morning.
It is a good morning. We got to sleep a whole extra hour. It's fantastic. Next week, I get to sleep in again because we're only having one service, 10:30 service. We're not having an 8 o'clock service like 2 weeks in a row. Sleeping in on Sunday. I want to remind you and to encourage you to be here, though, next Sunday, 10:30. All the classes, all the Sunday school classes will be meeting at 9:15. The Loft kids, they'll be meeting at 9:15, and then 10:30 service, followed by, the world's largest carry-in, at least the one that we can attempt to do. And the bulletin includes what you and your family ought to bring, two dishes and certain categories. So my last name is Stout, so we are to bring two hot dishes. And if you have another last name, which you do, then figure out what you're supposed to bring. Okay, just note, if you are in the meat section of to bring something, we're not providing turkey this year. Well, we're not providing a particular meat, whatever you bring. So if you bring turkey, fantastic. Ham, it's okay. Chicken, that's fine too. Meatballs, I don't know, whatever. The church is not providing a set main dish for next week. It'll be a great Sunday as we celebrate and remember what God's been doing over the course of this year, as well as worshiping together in a blended service that you will want to be here for. There are a couple families that I want to introduce you to or share a little bit about. One of those is the Wilderman family. They recently have adopted Amos from China. They came back from picking him up in July, I believe. And when they came back, they faced some typical challenges of adoption, a couple of the surprises. For instance, Amanda's pregnant, so their family is growing again in different ways. There are some medical issues that they are working with Amos on. In fact, this week, he will be undergoing the first of two surgeries, and we want to pray for Amos and the Wildermans this week and encourage them. So their address is in the bulletin, so you can write them a card this week and you can send it, or we have cards in the office. So there's a basket there that has cards. Just go sign the note of encouragement, a prayer, a verse, do something, put it in the basket next to it, and then we'll be delivering them down to the Wildermans while Amos is in recovery through this course of this week. So we want to pray for them. Also want to remind you of Anthony. Anthony is a boy that you sponsor. Every week when we give, we are helping or part of orphan care, and we do that through sponsoring Anthony in Peru. And this boy is going to school. He is has a safe place to live. He is being fed because you gave. And I just wanted to remind you his name and for us to be praying for Anthony and Amos. In fact, I'm going to give just a little bit of time right here now to pray for them. Maybe there was a burden, though, that you have for your kids or for your family or a coworker. You can pray for those kinds of things as well. But we want to also take some time for Anthony and Amos. Will you do that now? Oh God, may this not be the only time that you hear us praying for Amos, for Anthony, for others who are at risk, for others who are experiencing challenges. We certainly pray for Anthony, his sister Miriam down in Peru, for Idalo and Rebecca as they care for them and the other orphans at that orphanage, safety as they walk and they go to school, they live on the edge of the jungle. For Amos, as he undergoes the first of two surgeries, that the doctors would have steady hand and be skilled, and the recovery would be smooth for a family as they make the new adjustments to another in their family. We ask prayer for them, for the Immels who are in India right now, who are visiting southern India, the India Youth for Christ, the ministry at Rag Pickers, who are providing a place for kids who go into the trash to find something to eat or something to sell. We thank you for the work of Solomon and others in southern India who are providing a place for training and employment and safety. We pray for the Immels as they also go to Rajahmundry, for the Kumar work, the orphanage there, for some of us here who are sponsoring those boys and those girls, that they could learn something, but most of all, learn about you. And I thank you that the Word of God is preached and taught, and lives, families are changed because of devotion that they have to caring for kids who are at risk. And we pray for us that we would be faithful in what you call us to do. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. There's another family I'd like to introduce you to as well. 3 years ago, they sat just where you are today. When they came to Orphan Sunday, they did not expect at all to be challenged by God with an idea that they had more room in their heart and more room in their home for children. They had already adopted two children, and that Sunday, the Lord asked them to do it again. I'd like to invite Brett and Melissa Miller to come up to you. And while they come, I'd like to introduce you to Jonathan Miller, their son in the Congo. And here are some pictures of him. Early on, he's about three there and getting a little older. This journey for the Millers has been a journey over 3 years. Jonathan is now 6 years old and is a happy boy, and he's excited to meet you all. He wants to meet his family, not just a picture or a gift that perhaps he has received from them, but he wants to meet them. He is Jonathan Miller. The process that Brett and Melissa have been in is to the point that they actually have adopted him, and he has their name, and the government recognizes that, and they're supporting Jonathan, but the government has suspended the release of children and the paperwork, and so there are over 1,000 kids just like Jonathan who have a family somewhere, but they have not been united. Jonathan isn't just a kid, he's the Miller's kid, the Miller's son. He's our son. He's actually a part of our children's ministry. He's just not in the building. And this morning, our aim is to encourage us to understand, one, the Miller's story, and two, to consider how we might also be a part of the different aspects of orphan care. Brett and Melissa are going to share in just a minute, but I'd like you just to imagine, if you are a parent, one of your kids being taken from you or being separated from you for some reason, what would you do if that was the case? Your heart would ache. You would, day in, day out, be praying for a connection, that some way that you could be united. You would worry about your kid's safety. You would wonder, when will this journey end? All those kinds of things. This is exactly what Brett and Melissa are feeling regarding their son. Although they have not met him, they know him. And being an adoptive father, it's amazing. I remember the day when we got the referral and then the pictures of our kids. And that day, there was this immediate, this is our son. These are our daughters. And they're not just a kid, they're my kid. And there was a book or a poem I remember where it said that for adopted children, God, they don't grow in the the belly of the mom, they grow in the hearts of the parents. And so it's in our heart. Jonathan is in your heart. And today we want to give you an opportunity to share with us a little bit more about the journey. This has been longer than we had hoped and expected. Just know this, every adoption journey is different. It's all unique, and this is one. Tell us a little bit about that journey for you.
About 3 years ago, Orphan Sunday, we came, and it was a very good time, very good Sunday, and we had hoped for about a year, and things were just starting to level out from getting that adoption settled and everything, and we were happy, had no intentions of adopting again, and I think by the time we pulled off the lot to go home, we realized that we were going to adopt again. So
it was silence in the car, let me tell you.
That was a long drive. But we talked about it, and then we found an agency, and they sent us a referral, and you don't say no. So he became our son then, and then we started filing the paperwork. A few months later, we were informed that we had gone to court, and he was our son officially in their eyes. So for well over 2 years, he's been Jonathan Onya Miller. It's just a matter of bringing him home. Everyone there and here agrees that he's our son. They just don't want us to have him yet. So
one of the things that you really want Jonathan to know is that he isn't an orphan anymore, and that your love for him is, you know, that you haven't let go of him. How are you caring for your son and the circumstances kind of around that?
Sure. We have fortunately been able to work with our adoption agency and be able to keep him as safe as we can. We have been able to have him in a foster home, which what we understand is a Christian family that has a father and mother and some other siblings in it. Still no running water, no electricity, still a lot of the things that we take for granted that he doesn't have. We have had the opportunity to be able to send him to school. He's 6 years old and continuing to grow older. And so we've been able to have him go to school. We also have been able to have medical treatment for him. Unfortunately, he has been sick. There have been times where he has required care, hospitalization, that type of thing. Fortunately, we are able to be able to provide that service because there's a lot of children over there that never get that. I think the other part is that, you know, we always want him to make sure that he knows that he is not an orphan any longer, that he's chosen, that he's our son, that he is Nathaniel and Hope's brother. You know, Nathaniel talks about how he wishes he could fly his airplane, a big airplane, over and pick him up and bring him back home because he's tired of waiting and wants him back home too. And, you know, he also has the prayers of so many people, and that's so important because that's so much more than he ever had before.
Brett, why don't you share with us about the church in Congo who is getting this orphan care principle as well?
Yeah, he is in a foster home, which is rare in countries like the Congo. Generally speaking, they put the children in an orphanage, and that's where they stay. But there is a Christian congregation in Kinshasa whose pastor has done a very good job of talking to his congregation. And so a lot of folks in that congregation have stepped up and taken kids from the orphanage to live with them in their homes. And we're very grateful that he's doing that and that they are answering that call.
So it would be quite similar if we had refugees that came into town, or we had these children that were dropped off in North Manchester and saying, hey, we need some of you who'd be willing to take some of these kids into your home. It may be a short time. It may be a long time. We don't really know how long, but could you help care for these kids? And you go like, well, I'll take one and I'll take two. And, you know, that kind of experience where we would step in to care for someone else's child for a period of time is exactly what this church in the Congo is doing, and they're caring for Jonathan is one of those. Certainly, this has also been a time where you faced challenges and mountain. You're climbing the mountain. Sherry talked about at least one of the adoptive or foster parents saying, this has been challenging, but it's been good. It's like someone who climbs a mountain. If you ever trekked up and you've seen this mountain and you're like, how in the world am I going to get to the top? But then you say, I'm going to take that mountain, and you go up. When you get to the very top, you realize, like, this was worth it. I persevered, and you think, well, how did we get there? Because it was different people providing the resources or the supplies or the encouragement in order for you to get to the top. We don't know how high a mountain this is that you face. We want you to know you don't face it alone. But God has been teaching you some things. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we don't know how high this mountain is yet. So different new levels of patience. Obviously, you know, we're 3 years into a six-month adoption. So you start to really rely on God. I don't have what it takes to do this, so he does. From a father's standpoint, knowing that I'm here, he's there. I can't protect him like a father does. Relying on God to put people there, to be in my place where I can't be there for him, is a huge step, a big leap of faith.
I think for me, a big thing is learning to give up control. This has been a process that, while we both have tried to control it in many different ways, there is absolutely those that have lived the world of adoption and foster, and we realize that that's one thing that we have to give up, and that God has this. He has a plan, and it is much bigger than what we can ever handle. So, you know, learning that we just have to give that control to God and know that he led us to Jonathan and he will lead Jonathan home to us, as well as protect all those other children. I think the other thing is that realization that always wanting Jonathan to know that he is not forgotten. The last thing in the world I would ever want is for him to think that he's been abandoned again because we haven't been able to bring him home. And I think that has been a great challenge as well during this process because it has been so long and has been very agonizing and sometimes and very that with we are, that there are some times where God is very present and very evident and lets us know that he's right there with us and that this is what is supposed to be done. And there's those other times that he's very silent and it's very dark and we wonder where he is during that time period. So hoping that we know that he is always there for us, even in those times that we may not think that. Also that Jonathan as well knows that we are there for him, even though he may not feel that or may not think that.
Some big lessons. The Lord hasn't abandoned you, and we want to walk this journey with you. We'd like to let you meet Jonathan a little bit. There was a short little video that we want to play. Then we're going to pray for Jonathan and for the Millers. And so It might be to the
Hello,
side.
Hello, Jonathan. Jonathan. Can you say bonjour?
Bonjour.
Say hello, Mama and Papa.
Hello, Mama and Papa.
Hello, Mama.
Hello, Mama.
Hello, Papa.
Hello, Papa.
Morning, sir.
Morning, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Jonathan is a part of our children's ministry, and we're asking you to be a part of helping him, even though he's not in the room. And one of the ways you can do that is to pray. Pray for him. Now you have a face, you have expressions, you have a little bit of a story, and to pray for the Millers as well, and all those others that fall into that category. Some specifics that you can pray for is that the government officials, that they would be merciful to lift the restrictions that they have right now upon adoptions in the country. There are elections next year. If it has carried on to that point, that elected officials would also be merciful in that way. For Jonathan's health, he has had some issues. We believe that they've been resolved, but it's potential that illness could continue. We want to pray for his health, for his protection. For Brett, Melissa, and Nathaniel, and Hope, while they wait, there are also financial needs that they have that continue as they provide care for him over there, and the list goes on. I'm going to have Susanna come and pray for them. She hasn't been feeling real well, but I think she can do this. Yeah, you can. Susanna and Sherry are just two of some people who are leaning into helping in this area, and if you want to join them, you can let them know. But will you pray with us?
Father, I thank you for this couple who's been obedient to your call. I thank you that you've placed them with us, that we can care for them and as they wait for Jonathan. Father, we do pray that you would just move a mountain, that you would open this government up, that they would allow these children to be united with their families. We pray for this election, Father, that you would guide this election. We pray for this couple, Father, that you would help them to persevere. We pray that they would be more aware of your presence, and we know sometimes that's not always possible, but help us to remind them of your presence. Bless that little boy. Bless this family here. We ask this all. We trust you, and we wait on you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.